Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Fabiano SE. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Vanessa Hall, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the first half year presentation of Vapiano. Many thanks for taking the time to join the call today with the management board of Vapiano. My name is Vanessa Hall, and I am joined by Lutz Schaape, Chief Financial Officer, Johan Spooner, Chief Transformation Officer, and we also have Silke in the room today, who's from our accounting team and is here to present support for any questions on IFRS 16. I'll just reconfirm the format and agenda, if I may. Firstly, in my new position as CEO of Vapiano, I would like to take you through my initial thoughts of our trading results and, most importantly, our focus to stabilize, recover, and improve. I will then hand you to Lutz, who will give you a detailed financial review of both Q2 and first half year results for 2019. Finally, Johan, who joined the team this summer, will introduce himself and explain our transformation plans and action to date. We will then have a Q&A session following the presentations. May I just pay attention to slide four now? Just a little bit of background. I joined the management board as CEO last Thursday, and having spent the previous year as a member of the supervisory board, I'm no stranger to Vapiano. My career started in the financial sector, working for a firm of chartered accountants across corporate finance and corporate recovery roles, and before I joining a U.K. PLC. I have over 25 years of experience in the hospitality industry, leading and developing great teams of people with strong restaurant brands, innovative drink-led pubs and bars, and latterly in the fast casual market with YO! Sushi, which is a private equity restaurant chain for which I was CEO. The common thread across all hospitality companies I have been proud to lead and shape is twofold: good brand definition and strong culture. I'm therefore delighted to take the role of CEO for Vapiano, and will now explain a little more about the task in hand. On slide five, this really endorses my statement of ensuring the business has good brand definition. Vapiano is still a highly desirable and relevant brand. We operate in the growing fast casual dining market, but have a far higher average daily guest count than our competitors. At its best, Vapiano ticks all the relevant consumer trends we feel that other competitors are trying to match. We have a fresh, made-to-order premium menu. Our guests can customize their dishes to their taste and dietary requirements, and they're in control of their own experience. They can stay as long or as short as they want. Vapiano is informal, and when the experience is good, it's great value. It's vibrant Italian, digital, and we are working hard on the take-home and delivery model. In summary, this brand that started 17 years ago is still relevant today as it was then, but it unfortunately is not without its challenges. On slide six, you will see for a multitude of reasons, we have created distractions, unfortunately, lost momentum, and also lost goodwill amongst our guests. A key priority for the company historically has been on significant expansion, and for the last number of years, this is now has been what's happened, and we've recently halted this expansion program. Expansion absorbs resources financially and culturally, and we probably lost sight of the day job, sharpening the brand, taking care of our team, and delighting our guests. Our service systems have suffered alongside growth in competition, and more latterly, negative corporate publicity. All of these eight boxes equally play a part in our slowdown of sales momentum. On slide seven, as part of our refinancing in the spring and early summer months, we agreed a transformation strategy. and I say we, as I was chair of the supervisory board at the time and involved in the plans. This strategy remains our focus, to regain our leading position in the European markets, particularly Germany, and grow our global franchise business. I will take you through each of the strategic pillars on the next slide. On slide 8, summarises our restaurant segmentation currently. We have slowed down the corporate openings this year with just 7 new sites and 3 closures. We need to exit loss-making sites. Our focus will be on core Europe and rebuilding our franchise restaurants. On slide 9, I have indicated people are a priority, our team and our guests. And this slide summarises 6 of the key actions we need to take to improve our operational strength and service execution. The overall aim is to reduce complexity for both whilst enhancing experience. We are looking to ensure we have the right systems and tools to improve quality, speed of service and guest experience. And we will learn from some of our best franchisees who are in good, strong financial position. On slide 10, our third pillar of transformation is the brand. As I mentioned before, the brand is not broken, but we need to reinvigorate it through menu development, an improved loyalty program, evolution of our design for better ambience management, for example, and this will be underpinned by the current brand positioning work, which will be launched next month. This will dial up the relevance of the brand into today's generation. And finally, and very importantly, our Sebastianisti. My focus is to invest time and energy into strengthening our talent, aligning our priorities under the banner of less is more, so we have a focused, inspired and fun culture with people who are trained, developed and rewarded well for the transformation plan of Appiano. So slide 12. I leave you with my summary of my first thoughts, having spent a few days now in Appiano as Chief Exec. This brand is still as relevant today as it was 17 years ago. We need to build confidence across our people with focus on operational excellence and improved service systems. We have to restore our like-for-like sales. This is a fundamental priority and this is now what we will try and make happen. I will now hand over to Lutz.
Yeah, good morning everybody. Also from my side, Lutz Schaper, CFO of Appiano speaking. As you know, we will now present the financials in the structure as you may be aware of the last calls, and I would like you to move to page 14 of the presentation to give you the summary of the key financial highlights. In Q2, in same way as in H1, we have grown our sales by around 11 to 12%, to now 196.6 million euros. This growth is mainly due to openings in the years 18 and 19, as well as the acquisitions we did during the financial year 2018 in Australia and for our joint venture in Darmstadt. Our like-for-like, on the contrary, are not growing as the top-line sales. We have to report the negative like-for-like for Q2 of minus 2.8%. This negative result is the main trend in Germany, but also in rest of Europe. Let me highlight that in the German market, in May and June, we had a significant press coverage about Appiano, especially in regards to the delay of our annual accounts. Therefore, we have seen some negative guest trends during this period. The overall guest trend reduction since 1st of January until the end of June is for the group minus 8%. This is definitely the key issue for us to work on and already described by Vanessa our focus for the next months. Taking the sales into consideration, this also affected our result developments for the first half year, where we now report an EBITDA of 7.6 million euro, which is behind last year's performance. But on the positive side, at least for the Q2, besides pressure on sales, we were able to hit more or less the EBITDA from last year with 4.4 million euro. this is showing a slight signal that the recovery process is coming to an end, that the bottom is reached, and that we hopefully can improve over the next quarters onwards. The main reasons for this reduced development compared to last year are mainly openings for the years 17 and 18, which perform negatively, slightly, or even below expectations, or the overall margin pressures in our core markets, Germany and Austria. You see later some details about that. On the net income, we still report negative with minus 34 million, including all IFRS 16 impacts. Please note that we have booked again impairment losses of 8.4 million euros, and also we had one-time costs, especially through the refinancing process of 5.8 million euro, which I included in this result. In addition, the IFRS 16 impact to our net income is around 5 million euro. As reported before, for the first half year, we can report 7 openings and 3 closings. So that gives us now a total restaurant number of 235. What have we in the first 9 months of the year considered in the transformation? First, as you know, we have been signing a contract for US business in January, which meanwhile was not executed, and therefore we have opened the exclusivity. Details on this will be reported later by Johan during the transformation part of the presentation. We also have successfully refinanced our business and completed the financing in June. We have Johan joining us in July 2019, and now we have also Vanessa as a new CEO on board. Overall, now the team is complete for the transformation process, which will continue over the next months and most likely also for the next year, 2020. If you look to the details of Q2 on page 16, you see the overall sales development. Without repeating all numbers, I would like to highlight that the German market showed a flat development of around zero for the second quarter of this year. So therefore, whatever we have opened in new restaurants during this quarter didn't contribute enough to compensate the like-for-like reduction. In Europe and rest of world, we are still growing double-digit. First of all, due to openings during the last year, especially in France, but also due to the acquisition in Australia, which we did in May last year. The like-for-like growth for Europe and for Germany is negative, with a minus 3.7% for Germany and minus 2.6% for Europe. Overall, this is not a satisfying development and will be the focus points for the management in the next month. Turning to page 17, you see then the result and sales development for the group. On the system sales, we could grow by 6.5% and the group sales by 11.3% as reported before. What you see in regards to restaurant contribution and adjusted EBITDA are negative developments. The restaurant contribution dropped from 11.2% to 9.3%. Main reason for this development is that we now have in our portfolio, as reported during the quarter one call already, negative EBITDA restaurants. They are putting margin pressure on us and something which we work on in the transformation process to hopefully close some of them in due course. Overall, the adjusted EBITDA was more or less on the level of last year with 4.4 million euros compared to 4.7 million, but still at a margin of 4.5%, which is single digit and below our original estimates. If you consider US as an asset hold for sale, our EBITDA would have been 5.2 million. This is only for reference purposes. Moving on to page 18, you see the margin and sales development of the different segments. You see that in Germany, we report with a flat sales development, also more or less flat EBITDA development with a small reduction of 100,000 euros only. This is, of course, a signal that we have come to the bottom of the development and we hopefully will improve over the next quarters the development in Germany. In Europe, we have seen a slight reduction in profitability. Main reason for that are certain loss-making stores, especially in our markets in Denmark, Scotland, and which contribute negative to our EBITDA development. Also, the French market in the first half year was affected by external factors, mainly the Yellow Vests, and therefore have provided less EBITDA than the year before. Rest of World has grown EBITDA due to the fact that we have acquired Australia last year and we see a good development in that market. On the next two pages, you see the like-for-like and sales development as well as EBITDA development for the half year. I don't want to go in further details because we have reported Q1 already. I just want to highlight on page 20 that our EBITDA has reduced from 14 to 7.6 million euro, so which is 45%. That is, of course, not a very positive development, and the main reason, as stated before, are still some of our openings as well as the negative like-for-like development in our core markets. Nevertheless, as you can see on page 21, we could confirm our guidance we put on in July. We estimate our sales for this year between 370 and 390 million euros. Our adjusted EBITDA without IFRS 16 impacts, we estimate between 20 to 25 million euros, and we also forecast negative like-for-like sales between -2% and -4%. Openings, we see 10 to 15. All these numbers are in line with our prior estimates. With this, overall on the financials, I will hand over to Johan to report about the transformation process.
Thank you, Lutz, for handing over. Good morning to all participants from my side too. My name is Johan Stoner. I am the CTO since July 1st, 2019, and I've got more than 20 years experience in corporate restructuring. Since 2013, I'm a managing director with Alvarez & Marsal and leading the corporate performance restructuring team in Germany. I'm very much used to being responsible on board level to drive restructurings and transformation programs. That's the task here too. You've heard about the transformation program overall and the more strategic levers. It's my pleasure now having the opportunity to give you a bit more information about the status as well as the next steps of key focus areas of the transformation program. On page 23, you see on the right-hand side still, let's say, the house of strategy with the measures and the strategic pillars that Vanessa was referring to, and I'm much more discussing now about the key focus area, let's say, on the ground, on the basis for all of this. There are three main focus areas. The transformation program itself has been developed in the first half of 2019. The program was reviewed by an independent expert, a Big Four firm, and with a positive opinion end of May this year, and it was the basis for the successful refinancing in June 2019. That said, the program itself is on the table, and now it needs to be implemented, and my task is to support the execution. On the following pages, you will see more details on the three main aspects, the withdrawal from the non-core markets that are no longer key areas for the strategy going forward, which is the USA, the Australia and the Chinese business, then selected store exits as well as a review of new openings and the refranchising, which means a partial sale or complete sale of currently corporate restaurants. If you look on page 24, I will give you more information about the withdrawal from the non-core markets. You have for sure seen all the information on the US transaction. We have signed a contract early this year, but since Pluto Sama has not yet been able to secure the conditions for closing, which is the realization of the financing going forward for the six restaurants as well as the development rights for five states in the US, We have, by mutual agreement, decided that we will continue the process itself, but we do no longer have the exclusivity given to Pluto Sama. So we have started an M&A process in order to be able to market to other interested parties as well. Same with Australia and China in terms of the process. We have started now also a structured M&A process. That said, I would like to draw the attention to page 25. Say we have set up the process, the M&A advisors are finishing the beauty contest, which will be this week, and the structure process itself for all the three regions will kick off next week, and our plan is to close the deals in the US in the first quarter 2020 and for China and Australia in the second quarter of 2020. If you would like to go to page 26, it's more information about the selected store exit. What's the status here? On the right side, we have already first closures of unprofitable restaurants carried out. One is Munich 4 in Munich Pasing. It's closed already, and the final work to get the documents ready and the full dismantling process will be finished in September 2019. We have also closed Glasgow and still expect that the complete work could be finalized by the end of this year. We have stopped new openings that have been planned where we thought that there is an unsatisfactory return on investment profile, which was Berlin-Borsigturm with an invest that was forecasted for 2.1 million. Also Frankfurt Wings Tower, which forecasted invest of 2.2 million, and London Canary Wharf with 2.9 million in euro as an invest. If you would like to turn to page 27, then I would like to give you more flavor on the refranchising part of it. We are mostly focusing currently on current franchisees that have a proven track record and has displayed their interest and expressed their interest to us to buy additional restaurants. We are currently in negotiation processes that have already started, and we do believe that we can complete first transactions already within this financial year. So that is from my side. So I would like to open the Q&A session. Please.
So we hand over to the operator and start the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Then we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And we received the first question. It is from Mark Josephson of Securities Frankfurt. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It's Mark at Pareto in Frankfurt. The first one is a clarification question regarding the guidance on slide. I think it was 21. I've lost it now, but you had a figure for net sales, I think 370 to 390, and I wanted to compare that with a figure that was up to 420 that we have in the accounts, and I think also in the statement. So clarification on that point. And then if I go into the background in Germany, I mean, obviously you highlighted in Q2 we had a lot of negative news regarding the refinancing at the end of the quarter. Since then, of course, we've had the AGM discussions and we've had the changes in the CEO. Do you think that this is the key background to the negative like-for-like in Germany? has the market for FCD deteriorated here in Germany, or is the market become more competitive compared to what was the case last year? What do you attribute the minus 3.7% in like-for-likes in Q2, especially when I look back to last year and see that Q2 18 was also minus 3, so there's a weak basis there. And then just following on from those questions, the guest numbers in Germany, how have they trended through the first half? And the average receipts, again, in Germany, can you give us some background on what's happened there? Just to clarify what's happening within Germany in particular. Thank you.
So first, the guidance question, it's 420. We have a mistake in the presentation. We apologize. We will correct it after the call. Regarding the German apologize for that. So in regards to the 3.7% negative like-for-like situation in Germany, in general, we have it's coming mainly from the guest count decrease. Currently, we see a ticket increase of 5.5 for our business and a negative guest count of 8.4. So your question was, what are the main reasons for that development? So they are twofolded. First of all, of course, there is a potential increased competition. We know that in Germany we have certain competitors entering the market in the fast casual dining. But the main reason we believe, which we have to work on, is to improve Vapiano from the brand perspective. I think Vanessa gave some indicative ideas what we are going to do there, and we want to be more attractive for our guests in the future to really strengthen in the public environment the brand of Vapiano and to get back our best with the good product we're offering. So therefore, we don't believe that it's a market problem or a competitor issue. It's something which we have to internally to work on.
Yes, if I may just add, it goes back to, I think the brand is relevant. We have lost our way. I think operational execution we need to work harder on, because it is a tougher environment that we operate in now. And as Lutzer said, across the like-for-like decline is guest count driven. And we need to, and we have got a calendar of activities. Whilst we underpin it with a stronger brand presence, we've got tactical activities to drive footfall back into our restaurants. It is a declining trend that we have seen in terms of public information and correlating with the dips we see in our decline. It's just, it has been the case, unfortunately, that when we've announced poor results or CEO change, etc., we have seen its impact, particularly in Germany. The guest count unfortunately dips even further down, and then we recover slightly. But whilst we've started some activities, for example, in our takeaway and delivery, we have some specials on our menu that's creating reasons to visit now, and we see gradually we're getting some traction there. The negative PR hasn't helped in those dips, but it certainly isn't the reason for our guest count decline. We need to strengthen operational delivery and guest experience and entice our guests back in, because the brand is still strong, and we need to push forward and recover this sales decline.
Vanessa, if I may, I think one of your earlier slides, you had six boxes or so in terms of items you need to address, and one of them was marketing or marketing to the trade more effectively. You've highlighted before, the group has highlighted before, that there may be more effective marketing required to restore brand credibility. What are your thoughts here in terms of what Vapiano does compared to what it might do differently going forward, like more TV, or is this radio, or is there other form of marketing that you have there, and how does it differ to some of the recent places that you've worked at?
I think it's certainly not from a today's problem on TV or radio, but it is it will be ignited by certainly social media and loyalty through that too. We are rebuilding a marketing team. We have a new marketing director on board who again joined in the summer, And I think also for any brand that I've been involved with, one solution doesn't fit all. So we do need to segment this brand into areas of why they're suffering, why they're declining, and tactically what can we do for those specific locations or specific aging or specific competition in the nearby neighbourhood, etc. So there will be a brand, a wider brand solution, and there will also be local tactical solutions as well to help drive sales. As I say, there will be social stuff, and there has been already. We have loyalty propositions in the businesses already. We need to dial that up and reward people for coming in. We need to dial up again and strengthen what our brand stands for. And we're going to launch a little bit more of a refreshed brand identity, not fundamentally changing it, but almost going back to some of the strong DNA we have that we have probably forgotten and become distracted from. As I think it's been discussed before, from a service point of view, different generations now and trying to eat together and collaborate together in the restaurant, queuing times have to be reduced, and that remains from a service point of view one of our main objectives which we're working on. So the pillars of activity are around service, they're around freshening the menu and development with some specials coming on and a menu change next year. They're about tactical activities that we dial up, some things that we're not yet famous for. Today I was going through the menu, on the back of it, slightly hidden, is a fabulous children's offer at a very good price, great quality, freshly prepared, good ingredients. And we don't really have much traction at all from a children part of our guest segmentation, and we'd like to take our existing offer of that but talk about it a little bit better and a little bit louder. It just gives you an example, I guess. And again, delivery and takeaway, we've touched on. We haven't fully embraced that. But for certain restaurants in certain areas, as we've seen in the UK, for example, it can really make a difference to like-for-like sales growth. Maintaining guests who want to come and experience the in-restaurant, dinner with friends and groups and social, or take home, it can make a difference to our like-for-like sales.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question. It is from Nicolas Moda of Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple. I'll try to give them in order carefully. So the first one is over recent months, you said that you plan to dispose some restaurants to franchisees, but we've also seen reports that some franchisees seem to be more successful in their operation of a Vapiano brand restaurant. Is that something that is actually true? And are there actually any learnings to be had from some franchisees? That's the first question. Second one is, can you remind us on the situation in Sweden and Netherlands? Because those two countries, I think, were the reasons for the profit warning last year at the same point in time. We've discussed Denmark, Scotland, and France, but not those two countries. Second question. The third one is, would you accept selling down stakes in the US, in China, and Australia to minority level in order to deconsolidate them before fully disposing of them? And the fourth one is for housekeeping. You confirmed the guidance when you gave it a couple of months ago. We understood that you expect net income between negative 25 and 75 million. Is that also still the case? Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with your first question. Thank you very much. About franchisee versus franchise or owned estate that we have. I am fairly fresh into this business, but what I have seen so far is To put it bluntly, we have a lot to learn from our franchisees. They operate in Germany, I'm talking in particular, good, strong execution and good financial delivery as well in the franchise community. So if you look at like-for-like sales, for example, as you know, we are in decline and the franchisee team seems to be holding their strength in a little bit of growth. So it is actually on one of my top list of things to do is to take the learnings from our franchisees and build a stronger connection because we need to support them probably more than we do, and we've been a little bit distracted then, and they need to help us in learning from how they operate differently, maybe with a little bit more of an entrepreneurial mindset than we have, in too much of a corporate mindset for what is a fairly small brand. We've lost our way. So yes, I admire our franchisee community, and we do have a lot to learn, and it's certainly on our high list of things to do to engage the learnings and adapt more and adopt more within our corporate team.
Okay. Is this sufficiently answered?
Yes.
Okay, good. So in regards to the situation in Sweden and Netherlands, you ask your question. So the current like-for-like development in both countries is still negative. We can report a negative like-for-like for Netherlands of minus 6.6% and in Sweden of minus 10%. We have seen slight recovery over the last month, but not that much. So we have been seeing slightly higher numbers for Q1 in both countries, and we are working on a program, and especially on the Netherlands, I can report that we are on a good track. In Sweden, we are still working on this.
Okay. Maybe a follow-up here. These numbers seem to indicate like a worsening situation from last year. So does that mean that the restructuring plans for those two countries haven't gotten any traction so far? And what is maybe the cross-read for the restructuring plan for the broader group?
So in regards to the Netherlands, we have a dedicated restructuring plan in place, which is also discussed with our banks. Johan will report about this in a more detailed way. In regards to Sweden, we must say that even we have seen sales pressure on double digit, the result-wise, we are tracking more or less in line with prior year. So the cost reductions which we have put in place are supporting the business. Of course, we cannot grow EBITDA with the sales development, but of course, we are not losing significant EBITDA on Sweden compared to last year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hello, this is Johan Stoner again. I would like to give you more flavor on the Netherlands. On the Netherlands, we have set up over the course of the last 4 weeks, on top of the restructuring, or let's say the transformation program that I was referring to, which is the basis for the refinancing back in June, we have set up now a bottom-up performance improvement program to break even over the course of the next 2 years. So in with regards to the underlying restructuring program, it's an upside. The additional program that we have identified, and sorry that I cannot go into more details because we are up for a bank meeting with the local financing bank, but it looks very good. It's also accompanied and reviewed by Big Four external restructuring experts. So we are following the restructuring processes here and are absolutely and totally positive that we will have an upside here in with regards to the transformation program that has been presented end of first half year.
Thank you.
I continue with answering your question with regards to whether or not We are considering selling down stakes to deconsolidate the US, the Chinese and the Australian business. Our priority is not to selling down stakes, but to do a complete transaction that said, yes, deconsolidated, but selling 100% of the US and the Chinese business and our 75% stake in the joint venture with Australia.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
In regards to the net income, we can say to our guidance that we will have a double-digit negative result planned for the full year.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you for the comprehensive answer.
Mid-level. Yes, okay.
Thank you. At the moment, we have no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press on your telephone keypad now. We have received a follow-up question of Mark Josephson. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just to bring on board the colleague specialises on IFRS 16. Within Q1, I think we highlighted a depreciation charge arising from IFRS 16 of about -8.5. For H1, we've got a figure of -20 or 20.2, something along those lines. So there's 11, 12 million in Q2. I wonder what the additional 3 million is in Q2 and what would be the run rate from IFRS 16 for the depreciation charge for the full year, please.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for your question. So first of all, I think we could consider that the run rate which we have seen now for half year is that one which we consider for full year. There is only a few openings we are planning for the second half of the year in regards to additional depreciation we would consider. And in regards to the impact of 8.5 million compared to 11 million, I believe that we have opened restaurants in 2019. We have further booked also in the first year CapEx on that restaurant, so there were a certain impact from that as well. Detailly, I would say I'll come back in writing to you that question because I would like to look into the Excel file and think we can provide you with the answer via email.
That's fine. Can I just, since I've got the form, go back to Johan and his discussion with respect to the selling down of Australia, Australia, China, and where are we?
US.
Thank you very much. In terms of an annualized basis, what are we talking about in terms of sales there? I realize that Australia is growing, but what is the annualized sales growth in the recorded revenues for Vapiano SE, and what contribution did those three countries make?
Yeah, so I would take up the question, Mark, if you don't mind. So no problem. So in regards to the US, Australia and China in total, for first half, first 6 months, we report around 16 million in sales, meaning times two, it's around 32 to 34 million sales we would have as an impact. In regards to the EBITDA, for these three countries, we report a negative EBITDA of, let me just calculate, 0.8 million euro, 800,000 euro in total, while US is contributing negatively to the result, while Australia is reporting positively. So that would be the impacts overall for the case.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for your help on that.
And that's always half-year results, so you have to double the impact for the full year.
Yeah.
Just to give you an indication about the losses that the U.S. has made in the past, the U.S. made 6.5 million losses in 2018 and 1.9 million net income negative in China. So Australia, as said, going forward is positive. It was in 2018 negatively hit by opening, but Australia shows positive results. The other two are trading significantly negative, particularly USA.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would hand back to you.
Okay. Thanks for participating in the call today. You can have a voiceover or a recording of the call in the internet within the next 2 hours. We will correct the page as discovered by Mark. We apologize again for that. If there are any further questions on a bilateral basis, I'm available on the phone. Thanks for participating and have a good day.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.